Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Franchise Business Radio. This is host Pamela Curry. We have a great team today, our great group of guests. Really, when I think about the theme of today's show, it kind of falls into three key areas: franchising education, as well as hospitality. And of course, with that, you need funding. So we're going to be really speaking to all three of those key topics. And before we get started, let's go ahead and welcome our guests and allow them to say hello to our listeners. Lori, welcome.
Thank you, Pam. Lori Ford, ARF Financial, and I do lending for restaurants and small business retail.
Hi, this is Steve Glenn, also with ARF Financial, and we've been providing this lending lines of credit and funding for about 15 years for restaurants around the country.
Great experience. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Pam. This is Chris Hardman with the Georgia Restaurant Association, and I'm going to be touching on some of the issues revolving around the restaurant industry today.
There are issues there?
Oh, there's so many issues. Too many.
Oh, I look forward to hearing more about that. I like it more on the consumer side. Mike.
Pamela, it's Mike Ween. I am the adjunct professor of marketing at Georgia State University. I currently teach a class in hospitality marketing, and we're about to launch a class in franchise entrepreneurship this fall.
Something after my dear heart, education. I really look forward to hearing more about that as well. Welcome to all of you.
And Rich Casanova here, producer-engineer for Buckhead Radio X. Very excited to have Franchise Business Radio as one of our shows, and been doing a great job, Pam. And we have a great lineup of guests. Just maybe share with our listeners a little bit about yourself. We'll talk about you've been in the franchising industry for over 20 years. You say 20 years plus, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that from last time, yeah. You've acquired your business acumen from multiple perspectives of the franchise business model, starting at the franchisee level, then as a franchisor, business support and trainer to a franchise launch and system developer, all of which included creating strategies for sales development and implementation of relevant training programs. Your experience puts you in the unique role of training other franchise advisors in pursuing franchise ownership. And also, I know you have the passion of education. You just mentioned that going beyond working with an individual, you also consult businesses on their training strategy and system growth and development programs. It's the simplest form. Pam also provides assistance to franchisors on their recruitment strategy of new franchisees and consults on their training and development programs to put their franchisees in a position for success.
Easier for you to say. Right, that is a mouthful.
I just thought of that top of my head, yeah.
So are you curious as to why I started this Franchise Business Radio show?
Well, I might have a little clue, but share with our listeners or maybe enlighten me as well, yeah.
Yeah, just to kind of kick this off, really the purpose of this platform is to bring franchise professionals and resources together to connect, educate, and collaborate to serve the franchise community as well as the franchise consumer. As all of us know here in the studio, there are a lot of moving parts when it comes to franchising. A lot of different business professionals get involved. A lot of different resources get involved. So any way that we can help educate not only the franchise community, but the franchise consumer to be able to navigate those waters, I'm hopeful that this platform will help.
Absolutely. I mean, it's off to a great start so far, and this is an amazing lineup. I think each show just gets a little bit better. No offense to the previous shows. Yeah.
Okay. I would totally agree. Would you like to announce our first guest?
Absolutely. Yeah. Welcome back to the studio, Mike Ween. As you mentioned, the adjunct professor of marketing. After spending 28 years in senior marketing positions with Frito-Lay, Pepsi, Omni Hotel, Citibank, Deloitte, Mike also left the corporate world 12 years ago. When just at the age of five, or yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're not a student. Okay, you're a professor, yeah. So, became an adjunct professor of marketing at Georgia State University, a consultant dedicated to helping entrepreneur organizations become more effective at growing their business, and an Ironman triathlete who is a regular competitor on the world stage. Wow, that's pretty exciting. I don't know if we've had an Ironman in the studio before, yeah.
And we actually have two.
Oh, watch out.
We'll get around to that one later.
All right, nice. You're good at this, doing a teaser for the listeners. All right, here we go.
Well, Lori and I will be swimming, biking, and running immediately after the program. Nice.
Oh, I'm going to go do some 12-ounce curls somewhere. Mike, definitely welcome. Very excited to have you on the show and really, really interested in learning a little bit more about what you're doing at Georgia State University. This is a new program that's being rolled out. It's my understanding that you're going to be offering a class in franchise entrepreneurship. Why is this?
Well, we reach an awful lot of young people, the millennials, and we're finding that an awful lot of our students are interested in starting their own businesses, more of an entrepreneurial route than going the corporate route, which I did. One of the most common ways for starting a business is through franchising. Mm-hmm. It offers, talk about a great avenue for entrepreneurs. And we felt that this was just a critical piece of the education process that we were missing. In addition, since we focus on the area of hospitality, primarily restaurants and hotels, so many of our students, if they're not going to start their own business, are going to work for one of the major franchisors. And to have this perspective of the franchisee-franchisor relationship, we think is critical to a well-balanced education.
I would fully agree, and I wish they had that when I was in school. And I know it's starting to get more prevalent now, even in high schools and in colleges, and I really recognize the importance. So when you take a step back and you think about some of the objectives of the course, what are some of those objectives?
Well, we want to expose our students to the franchise opportunities from a standpoint of potentially buying one, as I mentioned earlier, managing a franchise, or just appreciating the opportunities that are there. It's as our students are looking for a great career path, this is a terrific one, and so we want to give them that exposure of what franchising is all about. You know, if I may say, especially with the press today, there seems to be a lot of misperceptions about franchising. But if you take a look at some of the franchise owners, they really are the Horatio Alger stories. Mm. This is really, where the, anyone who wants to work hard, who is committed to being successful, mm-hmm. irrespective of what their, education is or their pedigree is, can be very successful. And we just think it's a great opportunity for our students.
I would totally agree. So if we take a look at the students, I mean, who is the class really geared toward?
Well, this is part of our day program, and so it really is for undergraduate students. It's an advanced course, so most of my students will be juniors or seniors. So we're looking at in the range of, 20 to 24. Quite a few of our students are working at the same time, and so they're not in necessarily a four-year track. And it's for students who are, trying to get their degree and trying to prepare themselves for a start of an outstanding career.
I like it. And really, this younger generation is really starting to move into this world of entrepreneurship a lot more rapidly than historically. That's what I've read.
Yeah, the millennials are a whole different mindset than some of us baby boomers. They are more interested in finding a job that they can connect with, that has meaning and purpose, and that they're making a difference. They're not as much driven just by the financial incentives, but they're more driven by, making this a better world or making the environment better for people. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting what they're driven by, but it also creates a huge challenge as far as attracting and retaining the best and the brightest.
I fully understand that. So talk about that a little. What are some of the key areas you plan to cover?
Well, we're going to cover a whole bunch of things that will make them successful. What is franchising? The advantages over starting your own business versus, going with a franchise. The legal requirements, which are numerous. the expectations of a franchisor of the franchisee, and then the expectations of the franchisee of the franchisor, and also just maximizing the relationship between the two. So someone who takes the class should have a broad knowledge of, if they go to work for a franchisee, you know, how to deal and what they should expect. If they're with a franchisor, how they're going to deal with franchises, or if they want to start a business and, you know, actually expand that business, this is what they'll be prepared to do.
And you have some significant experience in franchising, which obviously puts you in a good position for overseeing this program. What is your experience in franchising?
At one point in my career, I was the head of marketing for Omni Hotels Worldwide. And during that time period, we launched franchising. So I have a real good handle on, you know, what it's like to, especially from the challenges you face and the legal hurdles. I also had the opportunity later in my career to work with Mike Levin on Hawthorne Suites and Microtel. And my role there was headed up a sales organization that parachuted in and worked with the franchisees on helping them grow their business. And so that was also my experience. And then I had the privilege of working on converting the AmeriSuites to Hyatt Places and, you know, with the Hyatt organization. So I have a great respect for the franchise organization, and I'm looking forward to leading this class.
And by the way, I have a little history with the Hyatt myself. That was my job in college at the Hyatt. But, you know, obviously, there are so many wonderful things we can say about franchising, and it creates great opportunity. But there is the other side of that coin. There are some challenges that we have to face in the franchise world. Could you speak to us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, let me start with one that not only the franchisors are going to face, but all businesses are going to face, and that's attracting and retaining the best and the brightest. You have an awful lot of people from the baby boomers who will be retiring. They're going to be replaced, and the opportunities for, you know, young, talented people are significant. And how you attract and retain and keep the best and the brightest, I think, is a challenge that we're all going to face. I think also, if you read the news recently, there's a real misunderstanding by the government on the real contribution that franchises are making to the economy. And I think that we have to be very sensitive to that. We see that in, you know, so many of the entry-level positions in franchising are, you know, really low-paid positions. But we don't take in consideration how those entry-level positions can actually advance and become general managers in a 3 to 5 year time frame. And there's just some huge opportunities. We've got a huge challenge in this segment of business to do a better job from a public relations standpoint. And then I think the third is we certainly see significant conflicts between some of the franchisors and some of the franchisees. Even in today's Wall Street Journal, they had an article about McDonald's and the relationship there. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, we need to, they both have a vested interest to be successful. And I think that we need to continue to work to deepen those relationships and make sure that both are the franchisees and franchisors are working together to the mutual benefit of both.
Yeah, a lot of layers there. Definitely a lot of layers. So what are the plans to take that real world into this academy setting?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I think we pride ourselves on at Georgia State is bringing the real world into the classroom. And since we have the real world less than a block away from our campus, we're in downtown Atlanta, it's really easy. So I think there's three ways I like to do it. One, I love to bring in guest speakers. So when we're talking about the, you know, legal aspects of it, instead of me standing up in front of you know, the class, we'll have one of our lawyers come in and talk about it. And the same thing, we'll have an I've got an operator of one of the franchises who will come in. And we'll have people who are living it day to day. And we have so many franchisors in this area. Mm-hmm. And whether it's Popeyes or whether it's Cinnabon, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of who we can bring in. And then we'll, of course, have case studies. That's more common. But one of the things I'm going to ask the students to do is I'm going to ask them to develop a plan to select a franchise that they want to buy. And while it's a hypothetical situation, they'll go through the whole process, and then they'll present to class why they picked that franchise to buy. And that's a terrific learning experience, too.
Absolutely.
That's how we'll try to bring the real world in.
Great case studies there, great examples, and real world. And the franchise selection, going through that discovery process, I would love to sit in on that, on some of those presentations.
Great. And with your expertise, that would be terrific.
So it's my understanding that Aziz Hashim is somehow involved in the development of this class. What is Mr. Hashim's involvement?
Yeah. Aziz Hashim has been a great supporter. He has, you know, he's someone who started at the bottom and opened up a franchise, and now he is one of the major franchisees of in the United States. Mm-hmm. And he recently became a franchisor. And so he has just, you know, been very successful, and he is has decided that having a course in franchise entrepreneurship is critical, and he is actually underwriting and supporting us at Georgia State with a financial commitment. He'll obviously be involved. I had lunch with him last week, and he has become a great advisor, and he has an awful lot of terrific ideas. He also, just to give you the magnitude, he just is about to become chairman of the International Franchise Association. And so we're very fortunate he'll be tying us and some of our students in to take advantage of their organization.
Yeah, he's seen the franchise world from many different perspectives.
He sure has.
A lot of intellectual capital to be shared there. Wonderful. Well, Mike, I'm really excited about this franchising entrepreneurship program that you're getting ready to roll out. And congratulations to you, and I look forward to hearing how it goes. It's fall, right? Is that when it's officially being rolled out?
August.
August.
Yeah,
oh,
so
wow.
That's when our fall semester starts.
Wow, in a blink.
You bet. It's coming up right on us. And thank you very much for having me, Pamela.
It was great to have you. Thank you. We have our next guest.
All right. Actually, just real quick, Mike, if you want to share with us how our listeners would find out about you, your program, or contact information.
You can best find out about the class at gsu.edu is the website. And if you're interested in finding out more about me, it is www.mikeween.com. And Ween is spelled I before E, so it's W-I-E-N.
All right,
thanks,
nice.
Rich.
Absolutely. We'll post all this information on the site as well. So, Pam, up next, we have Chris Hardman. He's the Membership Development Executive at the Georgia Restaurant Association. And in that role, representing one of the largest industries in the state, in addition to Hardman's role in membership, also serves as one of the GRA's registered lobbyists. The GRA serves as the unified voice for over 16,000 food and service and drinking establishments in the state of Georgia, with a total sales exceeding $17.1 billion. I'm not used to those big numbers. Yeah.
Big industry, that's for sure.
It's not a one, it's not a seven, it's $17.1 billion, which provides more than 421,800 jobs. So, and in addition to that, actually graduated summa cum laude honors at a BBA in hospitality administration from Georgia State University.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Right, yeah. What's the odds?
Hey, I got to represent Georgia State.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. You all travel on the road show together all the time? Or what?
Always.
Yeah, yeah, nice. So then you went on to receive his master's in global hospitality management from GSU. Prior to working at the GRA, Hardman also serves as a research associate for Georgia Capital Associates, advocating on behalf of hospitality and tourism industry. In addition to Hardman's work with the GRA, also sits on the advisory board for Atlanta. Is it ATL or just Atlanta Industry?
ATL Industry.
Okay, yeah, ATL. And a group that hosts networking events just for people who enjoy food and beverage, apparently. Yeah,
it's a fun group.
Yeah, there are a lot of those people out there, right?
Exactly.
Well, we'd definitely want to give out that information at the end of your interview. So
we will.
All right, Pam.
Absolutely. Chris, welcome. And, you know, why don't you just kick us off with telling us about who is the Georgia Restaurant Association?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, we're a relatively young trade association, a restaurant association, as compared to most other state restaurant associations throughout the U.S. We used to be a part of the Georgia Hospitality and Travel Association since 1972, actually. And we became sanctioned by the National Restaurant Association to be the only group in Georgia representing the restaurant's best interest. But basically, what I like to say is the GRA acts as the watchdog of the restaurant industry. So we're here to ensure that only favorable legislation is passed, while onerous anti-restaurant legislation does not materialize into law. So we're really working to protect the better interest, protect the bottom line of the restaurant industry, which is a huge industry in Georgia. I know, as Rich mentioned, we actually have now over 17,000 restaurants generating over $17 billion in sales, and we're the second largest private sector employer, only second to agribusiness, which is huge. So we're here to really try to make Georgia a better place for restaurants to do business in our
Wow,
state.
I had no idea that there were that many restaurants. No wonder my girlfriends and I cannot figure out where we want to go on Thursday night. So many options. I get it. Now, am I accurate in thinking that it is a membership-based association?
Yes. Yeah, we're a membership-based association. I guess I can give you a little bit of the makeup of our membership. Since our merger with the NRA, we've swelled to over 500 corporate members that represent about 4,000 restaurants. So we're extremely big. We're definitely well respected throughout the nation, one of the larger ones. But we represent all segments of the industry, whether you're a franchisee to a franchisor, an independent owner to a corporate group. We're here to provide the necessary resources and representation to fit each individual's needs.
Okay. Yeah, I hear a lot of protection, representation. Are there any other value points of being a member that you may want to touch upon?
Yeah, you know, I like to say membership is an investment in your business, because the GRA is really the only organization that is tasked with creating a positive business climate for restaurants here in Georgia. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the many benefits of being a member of the GRA, obviously talking to Steve and Laurie over here about getting financing because they're one of our corporate partners. But, you know, we have educational programs, industry-specific savings, events, workshops, chances to network with industry professionals. But the true value really is, as you were mentioning, is our advocacy work and our lobbying efforts under the Gold Dome and protecting the restaurant industry's bottom line. We each year we'll decipher through thousands of bills that are introduced each session. And we have to keep our members fully abreast and aware on the ongoing changes of those laws and regulations and really how to adapt on those changes. I mean, you have issues like food code, immigration, training regulations, alcohol sales, healthcare, taxes. I mean, you name it. There's so many different issues in the industry. Mm-hmm. And really the true value is it would cost one restaurant about over $100,000 to hire a contract lobbyist or a governmental affairs team like the one the GRA has. So you're getting the full benefit of having somebody look out for your best interest under the Gold Dome.
And you just listed off quite a few issues there. And obviously in the restaurant industry, there's just so many antennas that go with it. And that's what makes it so challenging, right?
Right.
And earlier in your introduction, you mentioned issues. What are some of the issues that you're going to be working on in the 2016 legislative session?
Well, first, last year we worked with the Department of Revenue to finalize a new regulation on sales tax refunds for restaurants. So we're going to try to keep our members abreast on how to claim the sales tax refund. Basically, every restaurant has an opportunity to collect a refund on all the sales taxes they spend on to-go items, plastic cups, to-go boxes, straws, lids, condiment packets, you name it. Over the past 3 years, they get a refund for that. No longer do they have to pay that sales tax moving forward. And we have plenty of information on our website, a step-by-step process on how to claim that refund. Check out some of our webinars, but we've seen that it's been about $2,800 savings per year per restaurant just in that.
Wow.
But our biggest issue moving forward into 2016, we're going to be pursuing hard, is House Bill 535. It was introduced last year. We call it the brunch bill. definitely a great name. But the purpose of this bill is to allow for municipalities to opt in to permit their restaurants to start serving alcohol at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays. And the reason for us pursuing this this bill so hard is because of the strong economic impact that it is going to have on the restaurant industry, and both in local and the state economy. It's huge. Just that additional 2 hours, because right now restaurants can't start serving alcohol until 12:30 on Sundays. Mm-hmm. That additional 2 hours from our study show that each restaurant will be able to make about $25,000 more per year per restaurant in additional revenue. But moreover, we estimate that there will be about 4,000 restaurants in Georgia that will be able to benefit from this new law. Those restaurants together would make up about $100 million in additional revenue, which will generate about $11 million in additional taxes going right back to the state, a state that is in dire need of funding for so many different initiatives that they're wanting to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of multipliers there.
Exactly. So we're going to be launching a more of a grassroots campaign throughout this year. We're going to be working to establish those relationships with our elected officials and educating them, along with the general public, on the positive economic impact that this bill will bring to Georgia. So if there's any social media users out there, definitely use the hashtag GABrunchBill to support this initiative. It's big business, big money for our industry.
Thank you for sharing. It makes total sense to me. And along with that, I mean, we're talking about the impact and everything that's happening in Atlanta, and I'm pretty confident you have a pulse on the growth that is happening here. And do you have any news you would like to share?
Well, yeah, you know, Atlanta, the restaurant industry is growing tremendously. There was one of our accounting partners, Bob Wagner of Net Financials, just conducted a recent study on the restaurant sales growth in Atlanta. And he states that in quarter one of 2015, restaurant sales grew 5.5% as compared to last year, which is nearly 3% above the national average, which that means just the Atlanta area is growing. Mm. Not to mention, he also said that this is the 17th straight quarter that we've seen a positive restaurant sales growth in the city of Atlanta, which is huge. And I think it's only going to continue to grow. I mean, if you look around, you have the Krog Street Market, Buckhead Atlanta, Avalon, Pont City Market, the Beltline, all these multi-mixed-use developments that really have a centralized theme. They all have very popular, well-known Top Chef restaurants in them. But, you know, I'm really interested in seeing what happens with the new Braves Stadium in SunTrust Park in 2017, the new Falcon Stadium, the redevelopment that will be occurring over there, what restaurants will be going in. I know we're going to bring a lot of national franchise brands, a lot of well-respected independents in Atlanta. I'm excited about that. I'm also excited in the foreseeable future to see what happens with Underground Atlanta over by Mike over here and the old Turner Field. I'm going to ask Mike later on what's happening with Georgia State and the old Turner Field. But we got to get that moving forward. I think Georgia State will be able to bring a lot of top talent to that area. But I really think that we're going to continue to see a lot of restaurant growth, a lot of independent, locally sourced dining. And you know, restaurants are the cornerstone of any community. So mm-hmm. when you see restaurant growth and a positive restaurant experience, you know the community and the economy is doing well in that area.
Well, I'm doing my part to support that economy, I will have you know.
Oh, thank you. Me too.
Yes. So on that note, what big events can I support this summer?
Well, actually, for the first time ever, the GRA and the Georgia Department of Economic Development and Tourism will be hosting the first ever Georgia Restaurant Week, a statewide restaurant week. Mm-hmm. So this will be on July 13th to the 19th. I know, I'm sure you've seen in many cities like Dunwoody is coming up, Downtown is coming up. They all have their own citywide restaurant week, but this will be a statewide restaurant week. And this is actually a collaboration between us and the Georgia Department of Economic Development and Tourism, aimed at increasing Georgia's culinary scene and highlighting the state's unique and varied dining options. It'll give patrons the opportunity to explore what Georgia has to offer from a culinary aspect. We're really excited about that. You can go onto our website and look at all the participating restaurants. And if you are a restaurant out there, you're more than happy to give us a call and get signed up. It's a great initiative. We've never been able to have a consumer marketing stance for our restaurant members.
Gosh, we're having all these great initiatives being announced on the show today, and it's just so exciting. Oh, yeah. With all the growth happening in Atlanta. Makes us feel like we're really at the right place at the right time.
Oh, yeah. Atlanta's a great place to be.
Yeah. So all this talk about restaurants, naturally, a lot of people out there at one point or another have considered restaurant franchise ownership. What kind of advice would you give to that individual?
Well, you know, I mean, I would tell them to talk to you. You're the consultant out there. I'm not a consultant. I'm not an attorney.
Thanks for the endorsement.
Of course, not Pam, man. If you need any franchise advice, you talk to Pam. That's for sure. But really, you know, what I've seen from the resources that we have on our website, from the different events and seminars that I've sat on, I've never owned a restaurant. I've actually never owned a franchise, but we're like a resource for the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. I would have to say, know what you're getting into. It is the busiest industry there is. You have to love what you do. Chances are you're going to have 100-hour work weeks coming up all the time. And it's more than just the food that you prepare. There's so much different stuff. Capital investments, marketing, hiring the right people, the location that you're in. That goes into running a restaurant. I would also say to sit in one of Mike's classes. You can learn a lot from there. But, you know, just do your homework. Go onto our website. Listen to all of our webinars. We have a one-stop resource hub just for restaurant development, going from when you're thinking about getting into the restaurant industry to where you, if you've been in the restaurant industry for 10, 15, 20 years, have owned a restaurant for 10, owned a franchise for 10, 15, 20 years. We have different resources that'll just fit your need. But most importantly, if you decide you want to get into the restaurant business, own a franchise, get involved with the community in which you're doing business. I tell everybody that, you know, build that strong relationship with the local Convention and Visitors Bureau or the chamber, because they're the ones who will be marketing your restaurant, and they're the ones who are going to be putting butts in seats. Mm-hmm. I think that will be the most important aspect of really getting your boots on the ground into the industry.
Wealth of great advice and knowledge, absolutely. In closing, I am really curious, if someone wanted to get involved with the Georgia Restaurant Association, what would they need to do to make that happen?
You know, definitely go onto our website. It's www.garestaurants.org. You can check out the member services, all the resources we have, or just feel free to give me a call on my cell phone. It's 404-723-1737, and I'd be happy to give you, anybody out there, a customizable conversation on, or give you some advice on getting into the restaurant business. But it's 404-723-1737. And feel free to call me any time of the day or night.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a busy industry. working a long time.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
happy
Pam.
To have you on the show.
Always a pleasure.
We have our next guest, Steve Glenn with ARF Financial. Tell us a little bit about him, Rich.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me see what I can come up with here. Steve Glenn, CEO of ARF Financial, co-founded the company in July 2011, coming up on anniversary here.
Yes, we are.
Next month, yeah.
Actually, 2001.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm glad I mentioned the anniversary,
because
it says right here.
Sometimes it only seems like a couple of years, but you know.
I'm having problems with digits today. It is 2001. I stand corrected. Yeah. All right. To meet the needs of restaurateurs who are looking for cheaper, simpler, and more flexible financing, Mr. Glenn's responsibility is to hire, train, and supervise all sales representatives who originate and service loans in the company and handles all business development activities. Mr. Glenn was previously president and CEO of Gusto Marketing Services, LLC. Gusto, a niche restaurant advertising company that held contracts with many metropolitan newspapers. Mr. Glenn also has more than 13 years experience in a number of senior management positions with entertainment publications, and graduated with a business administration degree from Baylor University. Also with us, joining Steve as a co-host, or co-guesting, I should say. Yeah, sorry, Pam. I gave your friend Lori a promotion there unintentionally. Yeah.
Welcome, Lori.
Yeah, Pam's like, stand down. Yeah. All right, so joining Steve, co-guesting with is Lori Ford. Lori is a VP at ARF Financial. And locally represents the Georgia area. Her deep experience allows her to put together a customized approach to funding and get the collateral needs of restaurants together. And we met at your lunching networking event.
Yeah, it's nice to see you again.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the show.
Great. Steve and Lori, welcome. And actually, Steve, it's really nice to meet you for the first time. And of course, Lori and I go back because we do a lot of networking here at the restaurants, of course. And tell us a little bit, you know, we've been talking a lot about hospitality, restaurants, and as Chris alluded to earlier, funding and capital is highly important if you're going to own a restaurant. Talk to us, who is ARF and what do you do?
Sure. Well, thank you, Pamela. Appreciate being here today. And also, kind of a tough act to follow, you two guys. Mike, I think what you're doing with the students over there is phenomenal. There's not many colleges doing that. When people get out and want to open a restaurant and they want to look for financing or the tools to do so, many times they don't know what to do. So if we can help you in any way, let us know. Love to come in and talk to the students at some point.
Thank you, and we'll count on you coming in as a guest speaker.
All right, fantastic. There you are, booked. Done
all right,
deal.
All right. And Chris, you know, we've been members of the association, Restaurant Association, for years.
For a long time.
And Pamela, we are big on networking. We decided 15 years ago that after being in the marketing business for restaurants for years, that marketing is surely important, but they've got to have access to working capital. So we developed a platform just for restaurants whereby we actually loan through some partner banks. So these are all bank loans. It's like taking on a partner for 12 to 18 months.
Okay.
So it's not a long-term situation. These restaurateurs can get the money they need and kind of get in and out. And we developed that platform. We're the only company in the country that does this. When we started, there weren't many companies at all dealing with restaurants. It was primarily a handful of banks, you know, that would take the risk. You know, it's the old urban legend. Banks don't like to lend to restaurants, right? But after the economic downturn, many of the banks just completely shut down on their lending with small merchants, small, medium-sized businesses. Then what happened is many of these cash advance, kind of payday loan cash advance type companies got into the market and started setting up their boiler rooms and calling restaurants all over the country. And, you know, we've always been a big believer that you need that relationship with the merchant, the restaurateur out there in the market. Lori and our other 30 senior loan officers around the country and VPs out there have the types of relationships that you've experienced with Lori, where she's kind of a go-to person. A restaurateur needs some used equipment. A restaurateur needs another location. Who's a good broker to talk to? Needs advice on franchising. I think she knows who to call for that. So we've made a huge investment over the years in our sales organization to provide that really one-on-one advice to our merchants, to bring them you know, bank products, bank lending products that include lines of credit, bridge loans, mezzanine-type funding, versus all of this internet-based type lending and you know, cash advance stuff that's going on out there.
And really, you know, what I'm hearing is a real customized approach, which, you know, allows you to really work with the banks and bringing that funding and capital to the restaurant owners. And I'm not sure who's better off answering that question, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, what is this customized approach to lending?
Well, the customized approach is that we went to the banks and said, listen, this is an underserved market. How can we work together to provide lending to restaurants, essentially? And that, again, that was a category of business that many banks shied away from. So essentially what we do is we put money on deposit at the banks because we don't require collateral from any of our restaurateurs. We provide the collateral to the bank, so when the regulators come in, they see that there's an appropriate ratio there of collateral, and the bank loans the money. We've been able to develop unique bank-type products like lines of credit, bridge loans, and that sort of thing.
That's great. And so how are you structured? You obviously, you've flown in from...
From Houston.
Yeah. We have Lori, who is the local VP. How are you structured?
Well, I'm, of course, in Houston. We have four offices around the country. We have an office in San Mateo, California, Houston, Fort Lauderdale, where that's where all of our underwriting and accounting takes place. And then we have an office in Tallahassee. But what we do is we hire local market leaders to come in and represent us. It's a full-time position, a VP-type position. And we tell them, listen, become the CEO of your own business here. We'll provide all the support you need. You know, we'll fund all the loans. We'll give you all the marketing materials you need and guidance. You know, our culture's big on family. We're not a huge company. We have about 75 employees, about 30 of those out in the field, but it is a family-type culture here.
That's great. And I know you've obviously helped a significant number of franchisees out there. Any particular case studies that you can share with us?
Absolutely. Yes, we've put out over $600 million in the last 14 years or so, and we have over, I would say easily over 100 different franchise concepts that we've helped. A few examples recently, we funded a bridge loan for a Wingstop, and they're waiting for a conventional longer-term loan. So we funded $150,000 so they could go ahead and purchase some equipment, knowing that that was a bridge until they got some additional funding down the road. Pizza Hut location, actually a franchisee here in Atlanta, needed $50,000 to kind of secure the store that was being sold. So they took the money for that and then took a line of credit for their build-out and equipment after the fact. You know, Domino's is going through this, they call it the Domino's Theater upgrade, where you can actually watch the pizzas being made. And we're funding many of those upgrades around the country. McDonald's, we funded some of the McCafes that were added at many of the McDonald's. Golden Corral upgrades, we've worked with many Golden Corrals. I could name Burger King, Wendy's, I could go on and on. I would say probably half of our volume is for franchisees, and the other half are more your mom and pops and independent restaurateurs.
That makes perfect sense. And Lori, I would definitely want to include you on a local level. I mean, any other case studies or franchisees that you've worked with?
Yes, I have worked with local franchisors. We can help the franchisor as a resource for his franchisees to help build the brand. I went to the local Bowfly convention here. Mm-hmm. A lot of the franchisors were there presenting to banks. We were there as a bank. I've personally done some deals with some Wendy's, helping them fund some new signage, and they got a discount from the franchisor if they got this done by the end of the year. So that helped minimize the interest and things like that.
Wow, great value. Okay, so there's a lot taking place in the market here, and I'm really curious to what kind of growth and development you're seeing, maybe on more of a global level or at least domestic level, and then naturally I want to hear what's going on in Atlanta.
Well, you know, there's some pockets around the country where they're, like here in Atlanta, where there's a lot of growth going on. You know, some of the restaurant activities also dependent from our point of view on the, you know, kind of the housing market and the health of the local economy, because we do underwrite these loans. We do look at credit and those kinds of things. So the good news is that coming out of the downturn, things have improved dramatically. I mean, there were a handful of states during that downturn period where the housing market was so distressed that we couldn't really do much in those markets. But I mean, I think we're seeing an economy that's expanding and growing, and our company's been growing, and you know, the future looks bright. We've added more salespeople, and, you know, we're doing our part to grow the economy, that's for sure.
Yeah, the magical word there is growth.
Right.
Lori, what's happening in Atlanta?
Well, I host a local Friday networking group that you've been to. I'd like to invite Mike to it. Chris comes to it. But all of us are working in concert together, trying to help the restaurants, providing different resources for them. ARF has been involved in most of the development that Chris has talked about, helping restaurants go into the Crog City Market, Avalon, Pont City Market. All these multi-unit operators are needing additional funds in addition to their SBA loans. I'm talking to a lot of them on the front end of the project to make sure all their budget needs will be met. Our line of credit has been very popular with these, you know, type of multi-unit operators.
Great peace of mind when you know you've got that in place.
Right.
Well, anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that if you're out there and you're thinking about adding another location or getting involved with a franchise of some sort, reach out to us, see what we can do to help you. Anytime there's an ROI associated with a project, you know, a lot of restaurateurs don't sit and think, oh gosh, what could I do with some money? I could add a patio, I could build a brick oven, I could do this or that. They just don't think that way because cash isn't really available to them. So we encourage them to think that way, open up their minds and say, okay, I want to have a menu of items I can do to my business to grow my business, because we can help them with the available capital. And if there's an ROI associated with that, and many times the interest is paid for that first year just because of the growth that they're going to enjoy. So, you know, reach out to us. Let's see what we can do to help you, whether it's a franchise concept, an independent. We also loan to other types of retail businesses, you know, automotive repair and, you know, small brick and mortar businesses, you know, gift shops and things like that. And also medical. We have helped a lot of doctors and dentists and chiropractors and whatnot grow their businesses as well.
That's great.
You know, our website, if you want me to give that
information. I was just going to say, how can someone reach out to you?
Well, you can look at our products at www.arffinancial.com. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions at sglenn, G-L-E-N-N, at arffinancial.com. And I wanted to add one other thing, and then I'll let Lori close here for us. We mentioned a couple times, and Pamela, you've been involved in networking with Lori, but we do have a really strong referral program. And if there are any folks out there that have contacts in the industry and they know of people looking for funding for projects or whatnot, and they bring that warm lead into us, we will pay 3% of the funded amount for that lead. And I'm sure Lori would be happy to work with those folks here locally, and I'll let her give her contact information. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it's Lori Ford. My cell, you can call me anytime, day or night, too, is 678-618-5216, and it's L Ford at ARF Financial.
And what's your phone number again?
678-618-5216.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks so much. And we actually do have a couple more minutes here. So I do want to open it up for discussion. A lot of great information that was just shared here. I'm getting hungry, actually.
I'm sure Lori can probably tell you a good restaurant.
I'm sure she could. With that being said, though, I want to just, you know, any thoughts or questions from any of the guests based upon what you've heard today?
Sure. I have a question for Chris. And first, Chris, I want to commit to you that in regards to House Bill 535, I have an awful lot of students that would love to see support moving that time, brunch time, to 10:30.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I can assure you of great support. You know, one of the things.
Thank you.
One of the things that we're seeing in marketing in general, but particularly in franchising, is this whole concept of segmentation. And, you know, restaurants not trying to be all things to all people, but really focusing on very specific targets. Since you seem to be at the epicenter of all this, I wondered if you might share with us, are there some, you know, of the hotter concepts that you're seeing coming around that we ought to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, you know what we've really seen, especially over the past few years, is people are eating out for an experience, a unique experience that they can't get anywhere else. People are actually traveling for food as well. I know about 30% of everybody that travels for leisure, it's centered around food, which is huge. So the culinary art throughout our communities are growing really, really fast. The hot concepts are anyone that can provide that unique experience through locally sourced products. It's huge. Handcrafted drinks or craft beverages. That's been big for really any restaurant. Plus, you see all these different neighborhoods throughout the city of Atlanta, and their concept has to fit with that surrounding neighborhood and the consumers that will be eating in there. So every restaurant just has to be able to adapt and to be able to come up with that unique product, unique cuisine that they can offer for those consumers coming in to really have that experience, to be able to share with the rest of the world how awesome of a time that they had eating out at that restaurant. I guess that's probably been, being local has been huge lately.
Thanks.
And thank you, Chris, Mike. I believe you had a question for Mike, if I recall earlier.
I did. Mike, can you tell us anything about the soon-to-be-old Turner Field and GSU?
Well, like anything in a large organization, I get most of my information from the local newspapers and radio shows. I know that Georgia State has certainly been considering, and it's been in the press, that how we might be able to use that facility. It's, you know, a magnificent facility in a great location, and I hope it can be preserved and developed into some sort of a stadium that can be used by the community.
Mm. Awesome.
But if I have any inside information, I don't, and my feeling is I'll probably be the last to know.
Well, on a fun note, I have to say we've got, you know, I always like to say we all have double identities, right? And Mike actually wrote a book, and I just want to recognize it. The name of the book is The Specific Edge. Do you want to give us a little bit of a backdrop on it?
Sure. The Specific Edge, the concept is, and it's something that I was talking about and very passionate about as it relates to franchising, and that is that success is really isn't about luck or a natural talent. It's about people who figure out how to harness their concentration, discipline, and endurance. Mm. And success is also something that comes to those who are best able to overcome obstacles, failures, and disappointments and turn them into learning experiences. And if you look at any successful person, whether it's Henry Ford, who really started 5 companies that went bankrupt, or Walt Disney is another example I like to use, who was fired from his job and his newspaper because he lacked imagination. or how about the lady who grew up in an abusive childhood, and then she was really fired from her TV station because she was unfit for TV. And this lady we all know well, she just goes by her first name, mm-hmm. Oprah. And, you know, there's example after example. And this is about figuring out, you know, what your specific edge is. It's about creating a competitive difference. It's about, you know, staying focused. And, you know, if I could just brag a little bit on Steve and Lori, they have a specific edge. They're not lending to everyone. They have figured a very specific niche, and they can have a conversation with a restaurateur that there isn't a bank out there that can have that kind of depth. And even what Lori was mentioning earlier, she can not only help them find the financing, but she's so connected to the restaurant industry that she can help them find all kinds of things from, just any kinds of issues that they have, because that's where she's connected. That's what the specific edge is all about.
I like it. And that was not a paid endorsement.
No, but it's true. I'm not saying it's true.
But I will be looking for my 3%.
Right, exactly. There's validation there. And just before we wrap up the show, because I have to give, it's just so intriguing to me when I think about concentration, self-discipline, and endurance and representation of that. Lori, Ironman?
Yes, I am an amateur ranked USAT triathlete, and I completed the Ironman Arizona in 2007.
Wow. So we and Mike?
Yeah, I have. I am also a competitive Ironman. I have. I'm training for my 11th Ironman this fall. I've had the privilege of racing 4 times in Kona, Hawaii in the World Championships. And just for our listeners, so you know how crazy Lori and I are, an Ironman is a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and then a full marathon, 26.2. And a lot of people ask me, how long of a break can you take in between each event? And the answer, as Lori knows, is as much time as you want. But the clock still ticks.
Right.
So what we wear in the swim is the same thing we wear on the bike and the same thing we wear on the run. We go flying through the transitions.
Amazing. Okay, Chris, tell me, you've done the Peachtree Road Race, right?
You know, I might have walked it once or twice.
Stopped for a little snack.
Yeah,
here
stopped
and there.
For a little snack. A drink. Went to one of my favorite restaurants, got a good drink, locally sourced beverage.
That's my speed. Steve, how about yourself?
I just started running again a couple weeks ago, and I can't believe we walk around every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got some sore muscles, I'm telling you. I thought I used all those muscles all the time, but no. So no.
I can relate.
I have a lot of respect for you guys doing these triathlons, but I am a master swimmer, and swimming would be my strength in that area. So. Yeah.
But, that would be my weakness. And I have to admit, I did do a marathon. Oh. But it was a long time ago. It was the San Diego Rock and Roll Inaugural Marathon. I think it was in 1998.
What a great place to run a marathon.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful. But again, I think we need to go ahead and wrap up here. I've really enjoyed getting to know everybody on a professional level as well as a personal level. I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of the show. Obviously, this is Pamela Curry, the host of Franchise Business Radio, a platform for bringing together franchise professionals and resources to connect, educate, and collaborate to serve the franchise community and franchise consumers. To learn more, please feel free to contact me at pam@franchiseintellect.com. Please don't ask me how to spell intellect. pam@franchiseintellect.com, or you can simply go to my website, www.franintellect.com.
And we got a few more minutes. I got a couple of questions if we got a minute here.
Absolutely.
Okay. And also, you can go to just Franchise Business Radio. Everybody can pretty spell that, right? FBR Radio. When you were talking about a one word, I thought it was going to be Pam. She's known as just one word for radio, yeah, or one name person. But for Mike, how would people find out about your book? Or is it on your website or Amazon? Or
You can find it on my website, okay. MikeWeen.com. It is available on Amazon.com. The name is The Specific Edge, How Sustained Effort Wins in Business and Life.
Okay, excellent. And I'm thinking, I was making a note here for Chris and Mike, could you guys maybe do a deal where it would be, for the students, it would just be a carryover from Saturday night? You know, doesn't have to be at 10:30. You could start earlier.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, are they up at 10:30?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
That's the thing is, maybe not, yeah. And then the 3%, that's on any funded project? Or
yeah, we set up referral partners that are in and out of restaurateurs or other businesses and have the kind of context we have in many cases. And they say, hey, call Joe. He needs some money for expansion. And Lori does all the work.
Right.
Just a warm lead. Yeah. We have people making $20,000 and $30,000 a year just giving us referrals.
Wow.
That's it.
That's a good bar tab, whatever. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that'll pay for a few brunches.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Brunches, yeah. I mean, I would have been happy at 1.5% or whatever, yeah.
Well, we can do that as well, yeah.
Pam and I will split it. Don't negotiate yourself down. Yeah.
And a marathon, I feel like I should be in we'll do a marathon radio show. That's about the best I'm going to probably do.
Yeah.
And what else did I have? Oh, Lori, Chris, for the event y'all host, the advisory board or the ATL industry group, is there like a link for that or just at the main website? Or
You could go to ATL Industry. Industry is actually spelled INDUSTREE.com. And you can get all of the upcoming events. It's actually...
Is that the French version or something like that? That's why it threw me off. I'm like, what am I reading? Where's the Y in
that's
industry?
The Southern version.
I guess something.
There you go. Yeah, that's, they're launching in Atlanta and are having their launch party at the Wrecking Bar on June 29th.
Okay.
So definitely, if you're in the industry from servers all the way up to owners, it'll be a great networking opportunity. We're going to have five tremendous guys and ladies on the panel to discuss on how to really get involved, how to get your feet on the ground in the restaurant industry, and give us a lot of great advice for those people in the industry looking to progress a little bit further and grow within the restaurant businesses. But I'm very much looking forward to what industry will be offering the city of Atlanta.
Okay, nice. And for Lori, I know I was at your luncheon networking event. Is that something people can register online or just by invitation, or how would they find out about those types of events? Or
They could contact me directly at 678-618-5216. And I send out the invitations weekly. We're all real foodies. We're GRA members, advocates for the restaurant, where they're tweeting and eating for the restaurant owner. So if a restaurant owner would like us to come and host us, we just ask that the owner is there. I can bring 15 to 20 GRA members, all professionals. So we would love to hear from them.
Because I was just wondering who was looking to be invited there. And great show. I think maybe y'all get together and do a restaurant radio show or something. I see a radio show happening. Because we can put you in front of restaurateurs or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Restaurant radio, or at least sponsor Franchise Business Radio or something. Yeah.
I see it in the future.
Yeah. All right, so another great show, and tune in next week or for our next episode in July 15th.
Yeah. Yes, at 10 a.m.
All right, see you all then.